I'm here.
Hey, guy. How are you?
Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
Yeah, thank you for joining us for this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio. We have as our guest today Tim Fiore, who is the chair of the ISM Manufacturing Business Survey Committee in this Institute for Supply Management's Report on Business series that we do on the first business day of every month at 12 noon. So, Lou, Tim is going to go over the ISM Manufacturing Report, which looks excellent this month.
Yeah, it sure does. Tim is doing a great job of keeping things going. I think this is the seventh month that we have very positive growth. So why don't we let the man tell us all about it? Tim,
Give us your overview of what's going on, and then we'll dive into the report.
Yep. Hey, another really good month, I think. We eased a little bit from October, but it's still the second highest number in the last 12 months, if not, I was just checking here. Let's see, second highest number since, going way back. I mean, we're back in 2018, right? Yeah, November of 18, we had a 58.8. So since that point in time, last month we had a 59.3, this month a 57.5. So that's 25 months, 2 years, second highest number in 2 years. So, hey, a good month. I mean, demand was good. What's that, Lou?
Yeah, I said those are terrific numbers.
Yeah, sure is. I mean, so, yeah, I mean, really strong demand, strong consumption, input restricted still. I mean, suppliers are continuing to struggle. So you want me to kind of take you through it all?
Please.
All right. So, you know, new order is 65.1, really good number, supported by new export orders at 57.8, grew for the fifth straight month. That's really positive. We've got international partners that are buying our product. Excellent. Very good. Customer inventory is still way too low at 63. I think it's the fourth straight month of under 40. So we're not really making any headway on filling shelves, which is good for the future. And backlog ending up at 56.9, so the backlog grew again. It's not overwhelming at 60 or anything, but 56.9 is a pretty good number, up from 55.7. You know, 3-4 months ago, it was 54.6, so we're making steady progress on the backlog. So, hey, demand was really good. On the consumption side, production number at 60, nearly 61. Another good month. That's, anything north of 55 is pretty strong. Employment contracted slightly at 58.4, and I'll get into that a little bit later on, because I think in the end, that definitely is not a reflection of the fact that they don't need the people. It's a reflection of the fact that they can't get the people or keep the people. So we'll talk more about that in a minute. And then on the input side, supplier deliveries continue to expand. It's almost 62 again, been steadily getting worse and worse. Inventories remained a decent level of growth at 51.2, up from flat from 51.9 last month, but still expanding slightly. I think that's a reflection of the fact that suppliers are continuing to struggle. So, and imports at 55 relaxed a little bit, and there's some port problems. This is usually a pretty big month for imports for the holiday season. I think the reason the import number is down is because the ports are really struggling with processing material and getting into the point of need. So, I think the message is that, and if you look at the comments, if you look at the supplier delivery number, you look at the employment number, it's more around labor, direct labor. We, from the beginning here, we've struggled a bit with suppliers being able to staff appropriately and keep people showing up for work every day. And that in large part is why the supplier delivery number has been so high for so long. And then it transitioned into transportation difficulties, not only because of the increased demand for expedited freight, but also the fact that a lot of your truck drivers are, late career, you know, think 52 to 65, and they tend to be a pretty susceptible piece of the population here to the virus. So we've been struggling with transportation. That even got worse in the month of November compared to October, with no signs really of abating as long as the demand stays relatively strong. And I think now the labor issue has moved into the panelist companies. They, you know, we expanded slightly in October. We were contracting slightly in November, and I think that's a reflection of the fact that we cannot attract people, and we're having trouble retaining them, and the absenteeism rates are pretty high. So, and that's supported by the fact that, you know, I track comments, and the comments on the employment side, I've been watching those now for quite some time. We had seven positive comments, meaning seven comments about hiring and looking for people versus one layoff and furlough. And that's better up from last month, which was 4-1. So more and more of our panelist companies are struggling hiring people. And I think that's a positive. So you see that employment number and you think, okay, there's an easing here of demands. We're contracting our workforce. That's really not what it is. It's the fact that, you know, we're having trouble getting people to show up to work. And, you know, you look at these outrageous numbers, daily numbers of people testing positive, and it kind of makes sense. Those are real numbers that you see on the TV, but in the end, they translate into people being able to go to work and people being willing to go to work, and people not having to self-quarantine because they were exposed to somebody. I mean, there's some outrageous numbers that pretty much every manufacturing community, if you look back into the summer, you know, a handful of people tested positive. Now you're looking at dozens, you know, on a daily or a weekly basis. So, and with no real end in sight in the near term. Obviously, the vaccine is a big positive. Our report doesn't so much really reflect that. The widespread availability of vaccines in January, but you know, they're not going to hit the general population until probably late spring. So somehow we need to get through the next 6 months and continue to support the demand. I mean, I think I've said August was the first pure month of manufacturing operations, meaning that we, you know, we started back up, we dusted off the shelves, we put the partitions up, we established the manufacturing process again using social distancing, and we're continuing to struggle in maintaining a decent rate of growth here, primarily because more and more people are being infected. That's the summary I think of the report for November.
There are two points that I'd like to delve a little deeper into. The customer inventory, where it's at 36 and change. I think anyone who sees the report has to understand that that's really a good number, meaning that somewhere along the line, customers are going to have to buy inventory. Would that be not the case?
Yeah, for sure. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I love that number being low. It's been below 40 for four straight months, and that's we hadn't seen that in at least a dozen years. So that really says, okay, we got a lot of production output to get that number to move up, because the new order rates continue to come in, right?
Yes,
and we're producing at a pretty decent output. So, I mean, the output's not bad. The output's pretty good.
The other point that I wanted to bring out also to question you on is about regarding imports, particularly from Asia. Aside from the tariff, which is still an annoying factor as a result of this last administration, and frankly, I don't know how much the new administration is going to do about that, at least anytime soon. It seems as though President-elect Biden is going to have his hands full for some time to come. He's not going to be able to do all the things he wants to do on day one. But regarding imports, the shipping lines have cut back on the number of ships, and then the manufacturers overseas are having trouble getting goods out the door because they don't have the ships. There's a company that we know of, a company called Matson, who is a They go from the West Coast to Asia and back and forth, and they have virtually nothing going to Asia. So they're taking empty ships, shipping it to China, Japan, Vietnam, and so on, and they come back, you know, full. But then when they go back, they go back empty. So their pricing now has tripled within the last 60 days. So there's a serious problem on top of the tariffs that exist that the freight haulers are going to be charging, like I said, three times as much as they typically have been. Do you have any insight into that, Timothy?
Yeah, well, I think there's a rush to get containers that are in the U.S. back to Asia to fill them up and bring them over. I think the average cost for a TEU is like $4,300, which is a pretty decent price. I've seen the same information you have about not having enough containers to export food products and things because they don't want to leave them sitting on the ground for a couple of weeks and want to get them back. Indicates that there's a strong demand to pull product into the U.S. Saw something the other day, maybe this morning. Indicates that the L.A. and Long Beach port is seeing about a 17% increase in inbound cargo year over year, which is pretty impressive. And we ended last year on pretty much a down note. Q4 was not a really strong manufacturing period. You could kind of feel the end coming, and then you know we got shoved over the cliff there when the virus hit. But, that's a large part of the problem that we're having here is on the transportation side, whether it be port congestion or road freight availability. I mean, it's showed up all over our comments. And, I track the transportation comments, and they're up about 15% compared to October. So it's not getting better. Mm-hmm. It's getting worse. You're at that period of time here where October and November are big input months, right, because you're getting ready really for the season. Maybe starts to wane. You got the Lunar New Year coming that affects all of Asia. I think it's going to be in February this year, so that's probably why they're trying to get containers back so that they can fill them up and get them on the water by late January, early February. So, no doubt. I mean, there's overall, everything is good. 9 of our 10 sub-indexes were in positive territory. The only one that wasn't was really employment, and, I mean, it didn't contract strongly. And like I said, the reason it's down is not because a lack of need. It's the lack of ability to get people to show up and work. And it started at our sub-suppliers. That's why the supplier delivery number has been so difficult. And now it's carried all the way over into our panelist companies.
Correct. And there are people who are working remotely, which in some cases actually works out very well. Our other company, All Metals and Forge Group, we do have mostly remote working, except for the manufacturing side, but the administrative QA other administrative functions, account, everybody's working from home. And frankly, it works well. It really works well.
Yeah, I saw a number last week, I think, that indicates that of the office workforce, about 20% are reporting to work. 18 to 20% are reporting to an office. The rest are still working from home.
Right. But it's working real well. And what we have done here is that once a month, our office building that we maintain those particular functions is not in a high-rise building that's on stilts. And once a month, we get everybody to come to work at 9:30 in the morning. We have a coffee and donuts in the parking lot for about an hour and a half, and just to get back to seeing people. And it's really amazing after 7 or 8 months. Some people have lost weight, some people have gained weight, some people have lost hair, some people have gotten very quiet. There's all kinds of little things that we pick up on, but they enjoy getting together for an hour and a half once a month, and we enjoy doing it, and you know, just to show and thanking everybody for the work that they have been doing, and that's what I think that's what employers need to do. They need to be thankful to their employees, and thankful that many of them or most of them are not getting sick.
Yeah, I think last week was Employee Appreciation Week.
Oh, is that right? I didn't see.
I think it was last. We did a lot at my employer to make sure we appreciate everything that the people are doing. I mean, you know, not only the frontline workers, you can see it. There's a lot of bonuses being paid. I think Amazon made a big announcement about $200 or $300 million are going to pay to their workers through the holiday periods to continue to show up. I think that goes back to the whole issue about, you know, people coming in. And, you know, keep in mind, I don't know, what's the daily rate of infections at this point? I'm not really watching it that close anymore, but it's an ungodly high number. Yeah, so think about it. I mean, when this whole thing started, there was a rule of thumb that said for every person who's affected, 3 to 5 other people have been exposed.
Yeah.
So take that number and multiply it times 4. Those are the amount of people that on a daily basis have to self-quarantine. And then assume that maybe half of them do, and now you have an understanding for why people are having trouble getting people to show up to work. And there may even be a connection here with the unemployment numbers. I mean, the unemployment numbers have stubbornly stuck at around 750,000 every week, and you know, the total unemployed are hanging about 20 million. And I see that for the first time, the last couple of weeks, the number hasn't moved. And, you know, you got to wonder whether some of those numbers are being driven by the infection rates and not so much about lack of work, the infection rates and people who are having to self-quarantine and how many of them are applying for unemployment.
Well, you sure can't go look for a job when you're being quarantined. So I don't know if they're even paying unemployment to those people.
Yeah, right. Well, that's a question. I mean, it's an interesting question. You can't come to work. You're essentially laid off, right? No, we can't let you can't. Yeah, you're essentially laid off. And when you're laid off, it's not for cause. So it's almost like, okay, you go on workman's comp, or that's only if you really contract it in the workplace. So I'm wondering whether some of that's feeding the unemployment numbers.
It could be interesting, something to look into. Mm.
Right.
So Kevin, where do you think this? You and I are probably heading in the same direction. I'm just wondering, Tim, if your report or the upcoming December semiannual forecast gives us any indication of where we are in relation to pre-COVID levels. You know, are we 70% of the way there? Are we 90% of the way there? Or do you have any idea of that from the reporting that you're doing, Tim?
We're collecting the information on the semiannual now. I think the survey is being released now. We wanted to wait until after the election so we didn't have any election interference in people's projections. And that's kind of clear now. We won't have the data till mid-January for reporting purposes. But I think, you know, based on the other public information coming out, it's single digits, you know, from Q4. So, you know, the industries have responded pretty well. Obviously, oil and gas are still hurting. That's our number 5 industry sector. Commercial construction is still hurting. Both of those, I think the oil and gas will respond well when people start going back into the office. I don't think it'll fully recover until people start to fly. I think about 10 or 15% of the U.S. annual consumption of oil goes into aircraft flying. I don't think that the traveling community is going to really get back to where it was if it does until 2022. So, and that'll impact our transportation sector, primarily in commercial aerospace. So, you know, we know the industries that are really hurting. I think that we're still looking at a bad time for the restaurant and entertainment. I'm hoping that by the time we hit the summer activities, the entertainment, the outdoors, there's some amount of that coming back. You know, good news in November. I think I said in October that November was going to be a weird month because you know, we have the election occurring and the uncertainties around that. Well, fortunately, as we're closing the month of November, we now know that we have a different administration coming in, and we kind of know what that's going to look like. So at least we have a bit of assurance on that. And that during that month, you know, three companies, I think, announced that they're ready for interim approvals of their vaccines. And there's been a lot of talk and a lot of information out there. Every state has submitted a distribution program, and Operation Warp Speed has that. They're allocating the amount of vaccines that they have available now through the end of the year. And you know, I think it's gonna be a really Herculean effort to get it all out. But we got a vaccine coming, so and you guys know who's getting it first. So you know, to really get that broad herd immunity, it needs to get out to almost everybody. And I don't think we're going to see that happen until the summertime. So we've got to go, you know, 6-7 months here, just continuing to deal with increasing rates of infection. Because I don't know what stops it at this point. The numbers are so high, there's no way that you can contact trace your way out of this. Which kind of makes you wonder whether the administration is going to continue to, the new administration will continue to try to do this and just cross their fingers and hope for that vaccine, or whether they're going to do something different.
Well, I think at some point we're going to start seeing the stats and statistics in regards to the medical world in your, the ISM's new hospital PMI report that I think the first one came out last month. We actually have a show on December 7th. It's going to be the first hospital PMI show that's going to be on Manufacturing Talk Radio. So that should be interesting.
Good.
Have you seen it? Do you know anything about it?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I follow it. Yep, I listen in on the conversations. Yep, Nancy does a fine job. Nancy LeMasters is the spokesperson.
Looking forward to it. So, folks, that's on December 7th, only 6 days now, 5 days. I don't even know what day it is. That's part of the problem with COVID. You don't know the day. You know the date. You don't know the day. Last night I had a hard time saying, is today going to be Monday or is it going to be Tuesday?
Right. Tim, you're coming out with Anthony Nieves in the semi-annual report. We'll actually be interviewing Anthony later in the week, probably Thursday. When does the semi-annual report come out? And I guess we're going to have you on the show on that date.
Yeah, I think it's probably mid-January at this point. We wanted to make sure that we stayed clear of the election so the panelists could really predict based on what they knew. So probably mid-January.
Okay. So not December. We'll look forward to it in mid-January. It's always a great report. And as always, we encourage everyone to go to instituteforsupplymanagement.org to get these reports. Great information, and it's just not – something that I would pass up. Lou's been following him for 40 years, and they've been consistent with his industry and his business, and they give him a fine indication of what's happening now and what could be happening in the next month or two. So, Tim, kudos to you and everyone at ISM for the excellent work that they've been doing for all the years they've been doing it.
Yeah, I think ISM made a good call here to delay this, because not only are we going to be removed from the election uncertainties, we now know that there's a vaccine coming too. And for several months, I mean, people have predicted that half two of 2021 will be stronger than half one. So now we'll be able to really see how they quantify that, because we actually asked the question about the first half and the second half in terms of revenue and other things. So you know, I think it's good that we cleared the decks and we've eliminated as much uncertainty as possible, which will allow the panelists to do the best job of predicting what 2021 is going to look like. So let me kind of give you some other information here. So the sentiment was pretty good. I mean, we had 2.5 to 1 positive comments and not so positive. That was up from 2.1 to 1. There was a little bit more concern about ongoing demand. This is really an input driven expansion, meaning that the inputs are restricting the overall growth. But and you know, I've been watching for the last 4 months how much of the comments are related to order book versus supplier input. And in the month of November, there's a little bit more order book comments than there were in the month of October, but it's still a supply restricted expansion period. So, you know, I think our prices were still strong, 65. The plastics remained on the list this month. Prediction was that it would start to fall off, primarily because the hurricanes are behind us, but it may end up taking a couple of months to clear out that lack of inventory and for chemical plants to stand back up. The chemical sector, did a pretty good job of expanding. In terms of industry sectors, Lou, you'll be happy to hear this. Fabricated metal products was our best performer again this month.
I love that.
Chemicals, that's good, huh? I mean, we had a pretty good performance. And, you know, you can see it with steel prices. I mean, they're up again. Think north of 60, right? Fabricated metal products. That was, new orders are strong. Supplier deliveries are a big problem. The mills are struggling. We had a lot of comments about mills. I checked the mill utilization in the U.S. and it's over 70. It's been steadily climbing for the last 4 or 5 months. That to me means that there's real demand out there for steel. The price of steel is in the 740 range. Nominal price should be about 640. So, and that's without any tariffs on it either, right? So, that's really a normal. That shows that steel is growing in price because people have a demand for it. From an industry sector side, chemicals, computers did pretty well again, softened slightly from October. Chemicals expanded very slightly from October. That was our number two sector, I think, chemicals. Yep, chemicals, number two. And remember, there are our number two industry sector overall. The transportation equipment sector, our number three sector, softened slightly, I think a couple of points back and off, but still expanding, north of 50, not 52, something better than that. And the food and beverage was probably the biggest disappointment. It has been was our number one up until October for many, many months. And it fell off pretty strongly in the month of November, almost 10 points on its own, and in large part on the employment side. So and the production output. So something's happening there. The two surprises, I think, were food, beverage falling off so significantly. That's our number four sector. If it hadn't fallen off so bad, you probably would see a half a point or more on the PMI. And then petrol and coal is continuing to contract. And although there are signs of life there, there's more wells coming online, very small amount. Like I said, it's still a damaged industry until people start commuting to work again and people start flying. So price of a barrel of oil is up a little bit, but it's not. I mean, you see it in the news all the time, Chevron and Exxon and all the work that they're having to do to kind of shore up their balance sheet. So those are the two big surprises for the month of November, food and beverage falling off pretty significantly, and petrol and coal contracting pretty strongly.
Well, all in all, some of this is a wait and see, and others are really excellent numbers taking into account the issues of this year. I'm looking forward to 2021, and let's get over this.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to half two of 2021 because I just don't know what I mean. This continuing escalation of infections with no real end in sight. I mean, a lot of your governors, your metropolitan areas now are taking steps in concert. Maybe they'll be able to get this thing under control. But there's no flattening. Nobody even talking about a flattening of the curve this time. It just continues to go up. So, and we're in the holiday periods. The impacts of Thanksgiving aren't seen yet. They'll soon start to show up, and then Christmas will be behind it. So January, February, I think, are going to be difficult months, and I think this is – it's not only the virus affecting, consumption, the ordering side. It's now seriously affecting the entire supply chain from an output standpoint, and I don't know how that ends, unless you somehow flatten this curve and bring it down. Well, and you won't really see that until the vaccine shows up.
The other issue about that involving the vaccine is that the populace, approximately 30-35% of the populace say they're not going to take the vaccine. So it's kind of hard. I mean, they say that now. Who knows, you know, in 2, 3, 6 months from now, they may be begging for the vaccine. But right now they're saying 30-35% they're not going to take it. So that's going to put a kind of a nail in the coffin, so to speak, with regards to getting rid of the COVID virus.
Well, you know, I think there's and rightly so, there's probably real concern on the child side, developmental children side, you know, pre-18.
Sure.
You know, and if I was 35 or 40, I might, you know, really be concerned about it. At this point in my life, I can see the horizon. I'm not worried about side effects or long-term impacts. I'll probably just take it so I can get mobile again.
Yeah, right.
Why not?
You can all go out and enjoy it.
You know, what's going to happen,
Jim,
is
thank you.
You're probably going to be carrying a card, right? You're going to be carrying a card, and they're not going to let you into places unless you've had a vaccination. Surprise me at all.
That's probably true. That's probably true.
Yeah.
Actually, that's an excellent idea. But that, I don't know where you're going to go into, because restaurants are still going to be closed.
Well, no, they'll be open to people who've gotten the vaccine.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Well,
yeah,
great report.
Maybe. We'll see.
Great report. I'm looking forward to March. I'm looking forward to the March report.
Yeah, right.
You already told us January, February is going to be kind of weird.
Well,
you know,
it's going to be. I think the administration has to make some difficult decisions here. They're going to. I mean, I'm not sure why the new guy is inheriting the old guy's stuff. So we'll see what all that means. But yeah, I mean, in the meantime, manufacturing has done its part for the economy. I'm pleased to see Chairman Yellen is going to join the Treasury Department. Her and Chairman Powell should be a dynamite pair. I think that's a great thing. They both know what needs to be done, and both of them are willing to do it. So that's really positive. I think, we gotta hunker through some more of this. I think they've been saying that because of the Thanksgiving holiday. We had, 3 million people fly, which is well less than what normal, but that's still three times what normally has been flying. So, yep. Okay, guys.
Well,
great.
Thank goodness
good conversation.
737's back. The MAX is back.
MAX is back. We just need people to get on them.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Bad time.
Well, Jim, thanks for the update. We appreciate it, and we look forward to two reports next month, which will be the first of the month and then probably mid-month for the semi-annual forecast. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You stay well, and good holiday.
Yeah, you too. Enjoy your Christmas vacation.
Thank you.
We will.
Thanks, guys.
And we've been speaking with Tim Fiore, who is the committee chair for the Institute for Supply Management's Report on Business on Manufacturing. On Thursday, we'll have Anthony Nieves with us for the services report on the service sector, which is the larger of the two, but manufacturing is probably driving 30-35% of the economy. And we invite you to come to mfgtalkradio.com to find this episode. And while you're surfing the web, go to jacketmediaco.com for our other podcasts, the WAM podcast, which is Empowering Women in Manufacturing and Business, Manufacturing Matters with Cliff Waldman, Where's Willie with William Miller, Full-Time with Amy Nicholas, and Hazard Girls about Women in Non-Traditional Fields. And Lou, what else we got?
A Hospital PMI, the new report from the ISM. The first show is going to be on December 7th. I don't even know if we have a time, at 12 o'clock.
12 noon.
I was just given the word in my ear. So it's 12 o'clock on the 7th. And I'm curious at what that report is going to be all about, and hope that you're all curious enough to join that as well. So I just wanted to squeeze that in.
And that wraps us up for this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.